closely talk.
Broadcasting from the world famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on May 25th, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
All right, tonight, check this out. The youngest guest we've ever had, and her name is Cassandra Kaiser, is going to be here to talk about her new book. We're looking forward to that. Vance West joins us to discuss the results of the ORVP-4. Alexandra Holzer.
Check that out.
Awesome. She's back to discuss her latest work. And finally, Alan Rupnick of I Am Haunted joins us for a very interesting discussion you are not going to want to miss. Bring up the mic channel just a little bit. Make our microphones a little bit hotter.
Oh, you want them hotter? Not a problem.
Bring up Bonnie's channel, too. She'll be here in a few minutes. Not that loud, Doug.
Why not? I like it hot.
All right.
I like it hot.
This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Doug is manning the board tonight, and I am going to do my best to keep my hands off of it.
Good luck, folks.
If you hear slapping in the background, no, there isn't some wild party going on here. It's Doug slapping me on the hand, keeping me away from the board, because I'm going to be away here for a while. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later on. We don't have a lot of time here to hubbub.
No, this is a busy, busy show.
Wow, we got so much going on here.
First of all, our very own Bonnie is running a bit late.
She'll be here any second.
Major construction all over
the Detroit
area. This whole
freaking state's falling apart. I hate this place, man. I really don't
and,
like this
anymore. Yeah, so she couldn't get from one expressway to another, and then another one to another one.
And exactly.
It takes her like five or six expressways to get here, and two of them were closed.
In a perfect world, you just get on the expressway, and you know
drive here.
Roughly what time it would take, you know, how long it would take to get here, and you'd get here. But now, not in this state. You have to plan contingency plans left and right. To make sure you get somewhere within, you know, even if you're late. So, Bonnie will be here in a couple of minutes. We have here to talk, and we're going to be getting Cassandra on the line. First thing I want to talk about was Waverly last weekend.
Yeah.
We weren't here, obviously, guys. We were at Waverly Hills. We had an absolute riot. It was awesome. We're going to kind of give it you should have slapped my hand for that.
That's okay. I'm watching the levels. I'm not opposed to them, but I know you want them hotter.
I need them loud.
Hot.
We were at Waverly last weekend, and the first thing I have to say, and you chime in whenever you want, Doug, was the people.
Oh, yeah.
We had a...
Absolutely.
It was so great meeting so many cool people, the Night Watchers people. Todd was there, of course.
Yes.
It's always great to see Todd. I was hoping to get Todd on tonight, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him, so I was going to hope we'd have Todd on for a couple minutes tonight. But maybe we'll do that here down next weekend or something like that. We'll try to pull Todd in for a couple
minutes. Okay,
just to do a recap. I'd like to hear it from the man himself to see what he thought was going on.
Yep.
It was our first time going to Waverly, you know, at nighttime.
Yeah, that's true.
We were there. Well, Bonnie and I and Amber and, you know, our contingent was there last summer with the Guar people, which was,
right.
I don't know which one was cooler, because Waverly was pretty awesome last weekend, but when, you know, people were like, so you've been here before, Scott? I'm like, well, yeah, last year I was here with the guys from Guar, and they're like, no. I'm like, no, it's, you know, it was pretty cool.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But everybody's awesome. I do want to mention one person in particular, and this deserves a major mention. When I pulled up, you guys were at the pizza place, right? And when I went up there just to check it out, see what was going on, and I was going to meet you guys at the pizza place. I pull up and, you know, a couple familiar faces. Hey, what's up? Hey, good to see you. You know, and all this stuff. And this other young lady comes running up to me and says, "Are you Scott from Ghostly Talk?" I'm like, "Yeah." And like that, like,
you have been
all
served.
Of a sudden, well, all of a sudden,
oh,
yeah,
wait, no.
No, all, what I thought was, like, you ever seen the movie Talk Radio? Remember that movie Talk Radio where they got shot at the end?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Like, you're dead, F.O., right? You know, I thought it was going to be me getting shot. So I'm like, I jump behind Todd, like, I'm going to die, right? She's like, "I have something for you." I'm like, "Oh my God, no! This is it. I've pissed off one too many people." And she pulls out this.
Wow.
You guys can't see this. I have two copies of this now. Haunted Houses by Larry Kettelkamp. As you guys out there know, I've been trying to find my copy in the abyss of my parents' basement, and I haven't been able to find it. But Amber bought me this really cool copy for Christmas this last year for like a couple bucks on eBay. Right. This young lady pulls out this book, another copy of Haunted Houses for me. She's like, "I saw this on eBay for a quarter, and I thought it was just so fitting I was going to give it to you."
She probably made more in shipping.
Probably, then, yeah. Right? And her name was Becca Sirico. I probably pronounced it wrong. She's a listener of the show. And Becca, she's from Indiana.
Wow.
And we got to talk for a long while. It was totally cool. Becca Sirico. I probably pronounced it wrong. I'm very sorry. I can't pronounce any names, as you know, if you listen to the show. I apologize. But so cool of her to do this. I was just totally blown away that someone thought this much to take this book and actually buy it, right?
That is awesome.
Yeah, and like give it to me at Waverly Hills. It was so beautiful, and thank you. And this is the reason I do this show.
Yeah.
This is the reason I do this show. It's because of amazing people like this who just treat us so nice when we go out on the road like that. So thank you, Becca. I can't thank you enough. It was really like, wow, like tear-jerking for a second. I'm like, this is so cool you to do that.
That is absolutely awesome.
Sorry, I got my soapbox, Doug. We got a couple. How much time do we have here? Because I mean, we're really crunching the clock.
Like
here.
5 minutes.
We're crunching the clock here, Hart.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to talking to Cassandra, our youngest guest yet.
Yeah.
I'm totally cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Waverly Hills again, though, was totally great. We had a ball there, and we met some really wonderful people. Todd runs a Class A event. The Night Watchers are a Class A group of people.
It was amazing, and the energy. I mean, the people were really, really there to totally ghost hunt. It was amazing. I had the distinct pleasure of being able to go from group to group, and it was amazing to get to talk to everybody. There was activity, too. I mean, from that's you probably hear the fizz in the background. But, yeah, the interesting thing about Waverly, first of all, is its size. It's an amazingly large space. And complex, because you've got to go through the underground tunnel right now to get to anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it was complex, and it was large, and I didn't know where I was going. And certain staircases and everything, it was an amazingly large place, so we needed a lot of people to cover the place.
Yeah.
And they totally organized it, and they said, "All right, you guys are getting this floor. And they organized it. They got it done.
We got lucky. We were the floaters, though. We were the floaters. And Todd said that, like, the Ghostly Talk folks are going to be floating around. So, you know, if you see them, they're not screwing off. They're just floating around. So we got to kind of cruise around the building at our leisure, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And check the whole place out and talk to people. And it was, again, it was just so amazing talking to some people there that just were so into doing this stuff. And we're into Waverly. And the people that knew just, you know, and I find this when we go to a lot of places like these large old structures like this, like we've been to a lot of them, there's just people there that are like encyclopedias.
Oh, yeah.
These places.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that amazing that they can just crank off. And say, "Oh, yeah, this floor right here, there was approximately 400, and they did this, and they did, wow, geez, I'm glad you're thinking about this stuff." You know, I mean, you're out there really learning this stuff. So it was, I couldn't say enough good things. We had a really great time. And hopefully, you know, I'd like to get Todd on still.
Yeah.
Just to, like, maybe talk about it for a couple of minutes and see how things went.
So it's two things that we went. Oh, by the way, the URL for his group that he ghost hunts with is nightwatchers.info.
Info. Yeah. Nightwatchers.info. If you want to go to their site, they're doing all kinds of stuff all over the country.
Yeah, and he does a show, so you can download the shows.
Todd's show, Nightwatch, is what?
There was this one lady.
Yeah.
We're standing up there on the fifth, on the roof kind of level, right?
Yeah.
And she starts talking, and somebody says, "Oh, meet so and so." And I'm like, "I've heard your voice before."
Yeah, you mentioned
totally recognize your voice.
Uh huh.
And I just know I've heard you speak before. And she says, oh, well, probably on Night Watch.
She does the liners for Todd.
I'm like, oh, duh.
She does the liners
for
Todd.
Of course I've heard her.
I forgot her name. What was her name?
Oh, man. I totally forgot.
Oh, somebody's
I'm not
here.
In any condition to remember anything.
You had a rough night.
I had a long night, yeah.
You know, it's amazing how the tables have turned over the years here.
No, I did not drink.
Oh, you were
like,
loaded.
I had
you're so red right now. It looks like you pounded a case, man.
No, that's from...
that's from
Fake Bake. Yeah.
Oh, it's a Fake and Bake.
Yeah.
You're back on. Okay, cool.
Bonnie's
back in the house here. Hi,
yes,
Bonnie.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Well, Doc, 15 minutes pay, you know.
That's okay.
All right, just letting you know.
You like my eye?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was on Satan's website briefly this weekend. I saw that picture. You took one to the eye, huh?
Yeah, my niece hit me in the face with a book.
I was on the phone with her when it happened.
At least what book was it? What?
It was a plastic ABC book. She's two.
Oh, so thank our friends at Fisher-Price for making a safe product there.
Yeah.
I thought they made those things safe for kids now. I mean, I remember when they, like...
This was hard plastic, right to the face.
You remember the Tonka toys that, like, had, like, serrated edges on them and stuff that, like, you know, you stab somebody with? You remember those things? They were, like, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I look back on that now and look at the toys now, and they're, like, so, like, just non-dangerous, man. I guess it's good. I guess it's not. We gotta move on here, though. We're pushing here. We're pushing hard.
This is a very, very fast and busy show, so let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a little bio here.
Yeah, you do that. I'm going to play with the board, which I shouldn't be playing with.
Yeah, don't touch.
Stop it.
No. Cassandra Kaiser started writing books at the age of 11. However, she wrote Grey Wings at the age of 12, which is quite an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
The first book Cassandra wrote was about a series she absolutely loved, and then it was when others began to notice her talents. Though that book was not published, it still is amazing, especially for her age.
God, yeah.
She was most proud when Grey Wings was published, for she always wanted to take a book of her own into her school library and ask a librarian to put her book on display.
Mm.
Ghostly Talk would like to welcome the youngest guest.
This
I
is our youngest guest,
on,
I think.
On Ghostly Talk. Cassandra, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Hi.
Hooray.
Now listen, Cassandra.
I never know what to say.
Now listen, Cassandra. I know this. Is this your first interview you've done for this book?
Yeah, and, like, for anything, so.
Okay, well, listen, we'll do this on the air here, what we do usually off the air, and tell you we want you to enjoy yourself, we want you to relax and have a good time, okay? We're not going to be grilling you and quizzing you and stuff like that. Ask your, because her mother's here, too.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Paula.
Hi.
Paula. Nice to talk to you.
She's no stranger to Ghostly Talk, either.
True.
You can see her on the homepage of our website if you want. She's our T-shirt model, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So you have moral support from your mother, Cassandra.
Oh, yeah.
Ask your mom. We're nice people, right, Paula?
Barely, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I can believe it or not.
Scott, not so much, but I'm nice.
You got nothing to worry about.
Yes, Bonnie's nice.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yay.
Thanks, Paula. So, Cassandra. You just finished this book, from what I understand. It just came out. If you can give us we don't want to ruin it for the readers that are going to buy this book, okay? But can you give us just a little bit of a high level on what's going on with this book?
Okay, well, it's about wolves because I wanted to do something that's different than most people. So it involves fantasy and they talk. So.
Okay, they talk.
Yeah, I know.
They're talking wolves.
Wow.
I've had nights like that.
Yes, I have too.
I've had nights like
Talking
that.
Talking wolves are cool.
So you're in good company, Cassandra. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What else we got going on here?
Well, I don't know what else to say without giving out too much information.
I'll
tell you what then.
What you want to do is you want to tease us.
Tease us, Cassandra.
Tease us with some of the interesting stuff in the book. Just don't tell us about it. Just tease us with little tidbits.
I still don't know what to say.
All right, no problem.
My mom's good at explaining stuff. I'm not good at explaining.
No problem. We understand. It's totally cool. There's some other stuff this book just came out, right? It just came out like last week, if I understand, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It just came out. All right, and well, from what we've learned about you though off the air, there's some other stuff that you. I mean, there's as far as the book Destiny's Trails, Grey Wings. That's just one in a host of things that you work on and think about, like all of us do when we study this kind of stuff. You're also in the UFOs and aliens and stuff like that too. I'm just curious, Cassandra. I watched a whole weekend of this stuff, by the way, too, when I was sitting just tweaking on the laptop and whatnot. What is your opinion? Do you think aliens exist?
Yeah, I do.
And why is
that? I think it's kind of like arrogant to say that we're the only ones like in the universe.
Really? And why is that?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because. Wait, what?
No, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead, Cassandra.
What do you think?
Well, if it's possible for us to be here, then it's got to be possible for other people, you know. Or it could not be people, you know.
Good point.
My thing's always been, I hate to like quote Carl Sagan all the time, but you know,
billions and billions of stars.
But God, if that isn't the be all end all, though, when you think about it, because you know we have billions and billions of stars out there, right? Why is it? It does seem very arrogant, like you said, Cassandra, for us to think that we're the only like living and breathing type organisms out there that kind of have a mind to think for ourselves, you know. So I agree with you. Are you nervous, Cassandra?
Oh yeah, I'm not a person to talk.
Cassandra, it's okay. We understand.
It's fine. One of the things that I want to do, and I'm going to do this year, is I'm going to get my alien fix, my UFO fix, and I'm going to go to the Alien Festival in Roswell, New Mexico, over 4th of July weekend, because, you know, being a radio talk show host, Cassandra, I get to talk about a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, at great length.
And we've talked about UFOs before, and I've been interested, so I'm going to go to the UFO Festival and see... What's all going on? That's in Roswell, of course.
Didn't I say, like, recently, like, not too long ago, like, I'm like, we should just change the format from ghost stuff to, like, to UFO stuff.
To just everything, yeah.
Well, no, just, like UFO stuff, because, I mean, UFO, it was after you had Ted Phillips on. Not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
That guy just had us, like, totally floored with the information he was throwing out. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still going to talk about ghost hunting. I'm just kidding.
Like, yeah.
Relax. But, I mean, I just find the whole UFO phenomenon to be just amazing. And I did see, by the way, I don't even want to say that. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. We'll talk about it later.
So, Cassandra, have you seen a UFO, or do you know people who talk about seeing one?
I've heard my friend say she saw one, but I don't know if she did, or, you know.
Uncle Chris.
Well, what'd she tell you?
Well, she just said she saw something in the sky, and it was probably just an airplane knowing her.
Yeah,
so she wouldn't be what we call a credible witness then, right, Cassandra?
Not yet.
Yeah.
but there's literally thousands of people who have reported seeing UFOs, you know, things
totally.
That they couldn't identify, and sure, some of them may be, you know, Jupiter or whatever, but some of them, I think, might be, you know, how do you
very
know?
Credible.
And what's the percentage? Even if it's 1% of the reports.
It's dead.
Or one half of 1%, even if only one of the reports was credible or accurate. Well, that's it. That's the proof.
Cassandra, I really want to know about this. Coming from a young lady like Cassandra, what are your thoughts on psychics, Cassandra, or being psychic?
Well, I think some of them have true meanings, like they really know what's going on, and then some don't, and they just want fame, but, you know.
I know ghost hunters like that. Yeah,
I think she just summed it up. You know, this is why I, you know, while I don't like children in restaurants, and you're not a child by any means, Cassandra. You're older than that, but the younger mind can really sum things up like that. You just, I think, summed the whole thing up for us, Cassandra. In a couple of stuff that we argue about for hours on end here, like just banter back and forth. You just did it all in like a couple of sentences,
pretty
right?
Much.
And that's really what it's all about. So I think there are myself, and I'm sure I know you agree with me, and Bonnie, I'm sure that there is a sizable amount of very credible psychics out there that really. See things, hear things, and they experience things. And then there's some that I think, you know, they didn't get enough attention from their parents when they were growing up.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Get as mad as you want, people. I don't care. If you're upset about it, that means that you're one of them. Deal with it. I mean, we're cutting deep here in 2008, like I said. We're cutting way deep here. Cassandra. I feel like I'm interrogating this poor girl. Cassandra, are you there, honey? Okay.
I want to know why. Mm-hmm. Why are you into all this stuff? What really?
Yeah.
Was there an event, or was it just your your mom and, you know, and all them talking about it, or what? How come? You know, writing.
Yeah.
And right, paranormal activities and things like that. How come this is all part of your life right now?
Well, paranormal things, my mom just talks about me all the time, and I just agree with her. And then writing and everything, I used to watch shows all the time and then put a character of my own in them, like, you know, in my mind and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I was waiting for a book to come out, I just decided to write something about it. So.
Ah, how fascinating.
Like any good child should, you agree with your mom on everything.
Yeah.
You are the model child. Kids out
no,
there.
No, I argue with her about a few things.
Well, it's good. If you're arguing about, like, things, you know what I mean? Not like, you know, what time you need to be home and stuff like that. If you're arguing about things out there, like, you know, why are we here and things like that.
Yeah, ideas.
That
yeah.
means you're thinking, and you're allowed to do that. Don't let people yeah. tell you you can't. You're allowed to do that, and knowing your mom as well as I do, I know she encourages stuff like that, so
oh, yeah.
that's what it's all about right there. So you're doing the right thing, Cassandra, and putting out a book like this, I mean, I don't know too many people that make this great use of their time, as far as mm-hmm. the younger generation. And I'm not trying, Cassandra, I'm not trying to, like, you know, well, I'm the old guy here, I'm the wise old man, and you're the little kid. I mean, I'm observing this going, you know, what's this young lady doing? What is she working on? And I think it's fantastic. I really think it. And you're nervous, I know, and all this fun, you know, what we're doing here. But, you know, you'll get used to it like we have. That's just how it works.
Yeah, you should have heard the first 13 Ghostly Talks. They were a trip.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can send them to you.
No, that's not necessary.
I need them.
Okay.
Paula's been chopping at the
email me your address at bonnie@ghostlytalk.com. I'll get them over to you.
We're going to find some unknown directory on the server that we don't know
Yay.
About.
I know.
Where did this come from?
It'll okay, you put it up on, now this is a really long URL.
You know, let's just
so
keep it simple.
I wonder if folks go to www.authorhouse.com, mm-hmm. author, A-U-T-H-O-R, house, H-O-U-S-E.com.
And then search for it.
And do a search on Destiny Trails Gray Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll probably
it should
come
bring
up.
It up.
We
yeah.
can put a direct link. On
we already have a direct link on
oh,
the website.
See,
so, and we'll have one up on the homepage again tonight for people to check out. And these are. Let's just get a little bit more, Cassandra, just for the listeners. This is about a story about wolves. It's a fantasy story about wolves, correct?
Yep.
And they are talking and wolves, right?
Yeah.
Are no, they, and that's not. I'm not laughing about it. I mean, this is.
Are they based on your friends or anybody you know, or did they just happen
yeah,
in your head?
Well, a few of my friends asked to be in it, so I put them in there. But
awesome,
because I can think of characters.
You know what bums me out is that I did this exact same thing when I was her age. I actually sat down and wanted to write a story.
Yeah.
About, you know, based around my friends and their characteristics and stuff like that. And I think I got like 2 chapters into it, and then I. You know, started listening to Black Sabbath too much, and that was the end, right? I was totally wound up with something else, but I did the exact thing. I tried.
Well,
you know,
Bonnie, our very own Bonnie, has been threatening to write a book on her friends.
The expose, the Ghostly Talk expose.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
It's called Confessions of a Support Hoe.
Yeah.
That's going to be like the most boring book ever, because we don't really do. Aside from getting drunk every once in a while, you know, I mean, we
no.
Oh, I know funny. Stories that people want to hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's
so
this is the
she
trust
would be, me, I
and,
know
and the blackmail begins.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not blackmail. I'll change the names to protect the guilty.
So Scott B.
So Scott X.
Yes.
Yeah. Doug Ack
was naked, jumping on top of a car one night at a conference. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that does happen, Cassandra,
yeah.
where folks do tend to want to put their friends in books.
Well, yeah, and, yeah. But I tried myself, and I didn't succeed, Cassandra. You succeeded, and I commend you for that. Yeah, poor kid, I'm embarrassing the hell out of her. I'm
know,
so sorry. I didn't.
I
I'm not trying to embarrass you, honey. I'm not. I mean, I'm really happy
no,
to do this. You know. But again, well, go ahead, Doug.
What's next? I mean, do you
yeah,
do a
Cassandra.
Sequel, or do you go on to Talking Parrots? Or well, parrots do talk. See, that's why I don't write books.
Talking guinea pigs.
What's next, Cassandra? What's your next thing you want to tackle?
Well, I'm definitely going to talk to parrots.
Okay, good.
I'm, like, thinking about writing a few right now, and I have 2 of them started, but then I just kind of got bored of them lately. So I don't know.
I know that feeling. Believe me.
Yeah.
I know that feeling when it comes to that stuff.
Well, sometimes even when I'm writing, you know, you got to see where it goes.
Yeah, you do, and, you know, unfortunately, you spend a lot of time doing that sometimes, but that's how it gets done. I mean, you have to look at it and go, okay, this is garbage, burn it. And start over. I've done that before.
I've done that.
We've
yeah.
done that with a lot of things.
I do that with
here.
Every email I write. Very few emails I write
that's
do
why
I
they're
actually
books.
Send.
That's why they're books.
Yes.
Mm.
couple seconds here. Again, I want to remind the listeners here. It's going to shut up, everybody.
What?
There's just this, like, these banner eyes going back and forth on the other side of the table right now. I want to remind everybody, go to www.authorhouse.com. Search for Destiny Trails, Gray Wings. And that'll take you right to Cassandra's book to check out.
Or at ghostlytalk.com.
There'll be a link directly to the page. That'll probably be your best bet.
She wants to know about global warming.
Oh, she wants to know.
It says GT's thoughts on global warming. Unless that
I was a typo.
Copy pasted.
That was a typo on my part.
Well,
what are your thoughts on global warming, Cassandra? We got a couple of seconds here.
Because I want to know. Because it's been like way unseasonably cold the past few weeks.
Yeah, this weather's been terrible. What do you think, Cassandra?
All right, this might sound weird, but I think the seasons are kind of switching. I don't know.
You think they're switching?
Like, because it seems kind of like it's going to be like winter when it should be spring. You know, it's kind of weird stuff like that.
Interesting.
It could very well be happening.
Well, we will find out.
We're going to have to find out for sure. Ladies, hang on the line with us for 1 second. We have to go to break, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Don't escape yet.
I want to thank Cassandra Kaiser for this is her first interview doing something like
I
this.
I think she did fabulous.
I think you did a fantastic, Cassandra. It was a pleasure meeting you.
She did a fantastic job. Absolutely. Paula, thank you for the moral support also.
Yes, thank you guys.
Just hang on the line, okay?
Okay.
Don't leave us just yet. That was Cassandra Kaiser and Paula Brewer, Paula Brewer is our wonderful, wonderful T-shirt model who's done a million things for us over the years and helped us out immensely. So thanks to those ladies. We're going to take a break here. Coming up, Mr. Vance West. Haven't had him on in a little while.
Or our VP4.
We're going to be getting the results of that after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Version 3.0.
The American Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Kalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Byrne.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
The objective is to kill men. To kill mankind.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And Hanford disappears across the face.
It's very scary here. Everything about it is scary. To work in this field, our face is very
short. It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not make it human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal, ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Screen Team. We're ready for EVP sleep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
Said our EMF meter started to go haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
You're a little fast on that one.
You did the motion.
I didn't say it like that. I said like slow.
So not like that.
Slow and steady wins the race, though.
More like that.
That's good.
All right. I'll remember that.
You'll get the feel for it.
Yeah.
No, you're dude. I'm breaking you. I'm breaking your chops.
Next week's gonna be so much fun.
Oh, I'm gonna be down there and I'm gonna be down there just like ripping my hair out.
I can hardly wait.
Oh yes. I'll be like, Bonnie, don't make any sudden movements because if you do, I'm liable just to turn the whole board off.
What?
Turn the board off? Okay, yeah.
We have a man on the line right now who is no stranger to Ghostly Talk. He's a dear friend of ours, actually, and he's here to talk about these projects that we've been doing for the last couple of years with him. And it's called the ORVP, which stands for the Open Remote Viewing Project. This is our fourth project, and we started on this thing a while back, and we had some clunks and clacks and stuff like that, and we're finally here tonight to go over the session work and the feedback. Vance, are you there, sir?
Absolutely. Good evening.
Yeah, good to have you on the show here. And basically what we normally do is we're just going to turn this over to you and kind of go through, and we're just going to crank through the session work. So you tell us where you want to start. There is the target ID.
Wow. Yeah, we're looking at the target IDs now. We're on the page. We went to www.ghostytalk.com, click on it, you know, just like you just described.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the
target IDs.
This should have been a ghost hunter's dream.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you know, on this one, I thought we'd do something a little different. So, you know, of course, if people click the ORVP4 link on the left of your site,
and
I put two new links, feedback, that actually shows the target reference material photos and a little bit of background on the targets, and then there's a sessions link, which actually shows all the individual sessions that were sent in.
Okay, so go back to this tab right here.
Yeah.
And it should, the Ghostly Talk site, it should take us to the sessions link there, and that should be the actual session work. And do we want to, how the heck did that start happening? That's something new. Oh, you're doing that. You're
right-clicking?
Right-click. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's all the session work now. So are we just going to go through each one of these, Vance?
Right. So what we did, I mean, on this one, I thought I'd do something a little different. The target, we had two distinct different targets, although they were related. And the target was probably something that, you know, you and your listeners are probably familiar with, was the Goldfield Hotel in Nevada.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I thought it would be an interesting target because, you know, obviously the first target was the hotel itself. And it's interesting because obviously the history, but also it's a real thing. So I wanted to see if we could actually just get, you know, regular remote viewing data on the hotel, as it's a real tangible structure. So it's a good actual remote viewing project to get, you know, percepts on something that really exists. So the first target was the actual hotel at the photographic timeline of the photos that are up on the feedback page, which was, you know, circa 2005. So that was the first target. And what I did is on the feedback page, I put some notes, just kind of like overall quick notes of the session, just kind of like a summary type thing of the sessions.
Yeah.
You know, as you noted on the earlier show we had, there was confusion with this one because a lot of the sessions were sent in. People didn't quite understand that it was two distinct targets, so they kind of mixed IDs and stuff. So it was a difficult thing, but we still had some really, really interesting results.
Yeah.
Although it was probably a harder target.
Mm-hmm.
So the first ID, 4078-0559, was the actual hotel. If you look at the overall notes, I kind of put the notes underneath the pictures for each target. Some really, really excellent work. You know, someone not familiar with remote viewing will look at the session work and see a lot of scribble and gibberish and stuff like that. But that's the nature of remote viewing. It's in the early stages, essentially, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But there's still some really, really good percepts. I put some overall notes on the bottom here. For the Goldfield Hotel, just going through the notes kind of real quick and, you know, jump in if you guys want to stop me. Our viewer one, I kind of ripped it up, you know, by viewer numbers. Everything's anonymous, of course. Was a viewer that sent in mixed sessions, so his session kind of had the target IDs mixed matched. But he had some interesting percepts. Again, you can click on the individual sessions and kind of look at it, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had what I thought was a real interesting perception of two-dimensional. And the reason I thought that was interesting was because of the target reference material, something I see quite common when target reference material of photos is used. Sometimes, you know, the mind is weird in remote viewing. Sometimes people wind up remote viewing the image as opposed to the actual what the image represents. The idea, you know, if I can explain that better, the idea with target reference material is to have just reference to have the viewer's percepts go to a location, not to actually remote view the picture, so to speak. But I thought it was interesting that he had two-dimensional, seeing how it's pictures and most of the viewers, in fact, I think all the viewers here were people that were just trying it out. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It probably doesn't have anything to do with the target per se, but interesting in the sense that maybe had to deal with the fact that he was sensing that it was a flat picture.
Is that a hurdle or a danger or a common thing, or is that a is that something that you learn as you go, kind of thing, or is it just one of those things that really will pop in the mind? It's two dimensional, which, you know, does it pop in and then you still write it down? I mean, you're going to write it down no matter what.
I mean, the reason I thought it was so interesting is because from my personal experience. Whenever I've been tasked against something that's has a picture as reference material, I find that somehow your mind picks up percepts that are not as lifelike as if someone did not use a picture as reference material. That's what I thought was interesting. So typically, if I'm doing some type of real, you know, let's say operational work, I try to make it clear that there's no images used as reference because for some reason, and again, it's something that we don't quite understand, maybe there's something that goes on in the tasking that causes the viewer to focus too much on the picture as opposed to the actual target. So, it is kind of an interesting thing. That's why I thought it was kind of interesting that he put two-dimensional there. So,
I kind of like that. I kind of like that because that means it really popped in his head and he really wrote it down, which is exactly what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're trying to do, yeah.
Exactly. So, without any interpretation at that time, that can be done later, which is what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know what, we think he picked up the actual, like the physical representation of it was a photo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or, well,
yeah,
it's a series.
I know we got to move through all this really quick.
Yeah,
so,
let's go.
Shut up, Doug.
I'm sorry. I just wondered. I mean, you know, I'm learning.
So viewer,
I'm messing
viewer
with
one,
you.
You know, viewer one on this hotel, you know, for someone that's never viewed before,
yeah. You
had a percept of man-made, which is perfect. I mean, because in the first couple stages of remote viewing, you're looking for, you know, just gross gestalt type of data, you know.
Right.
Does something have right angles? Is it man-made? Is it land? Is it water? He pulled man-made out. So, that's excellent. And he also had the ideas of wind and noise, which was something that was, as you look through some of these notes, was quite prevalent through most of the viewers on the first target of a hotel, and seeing how it's Nevada, that may be a good percept. So, I mean, excellent work. Viewer two session work was kind of tough to make out, but he did have excellent right angles. Right angles, you know, in the beginning when someone's viewing a man-made object. What? Is huge. I mean, it
basically
tells you.
Okay. Sorry, Vance.
It tells you, you know, that the viewer is actually on site when they're actually getting right angles. And his sketches, he actually sketched squares, rectangular, just excellent, you know, base gestalt work, identifying that, you know, he was perceiving something that was man-made and had right angles.
I think that was me.
Oh, really?
I hope I didn't screw anything up by saying that, did I?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I just, you know, like, say, I really don't know who is what.
You said remote viewer two. Remote viewer two.
R2, page two.
That's me.
R2, page one is this.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But the other one actually had some rectangles, like you said, Vance.
Yeah.
So I...
Yeah, I mean, it's excellent. Because most of the work that was sent in was literally what we consider, like, the first couple stages of a remote viewing session, just a couple minutes. And you're really only going to get some baseline information, and to pull something like man-made, rectangular, sketching mm-hmm. squares, that would immediately show a monitor or someone that was monitoring a session that the person's on target, you know, if the idea was a building or something of that nature, because you automatically should be picking up.
Can I make a comment here, and I don't want to hold this up, but go back to the session work. Go back to the session work, Doug. Mm-hmm. Now, for the gold field, I have, and I'll say I, because it was me, I have three... rectangles here.
Right.
With an arrow going to each one of them kind of in a circular motion. Now, if you go back to the actual pictures of the Goldfield Hotel, Doug, the other tab, we have three photos.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
I am the man.
Yeah.
Well, also, look at the top picture of the hotel.
Yeah.
You notice the prominent feature is sets of three square...
Yep.
You know, if you look at it with a, you know, I kind of look at reference material with a fuzzy look through the eyes.
Yeah,
if you look at it fuzzy, you'll see predominantly three squares and three more above it. So, yeah, that's a, you know, just an excellent, you know, excellent quick, you know, gestaltic of, you know,
myself.
So yeah, I mean, great work.
I amaze myself. My ego just got inflated by about 30 more pounds.
Thanks, Vance.
Yeah, great.
Let's go to remote viewer.
Never hear the
Let's
end
go
of
to
that.
The remote
He'll
viewer
be
three.
Insufferable now.
Remote
right
viewer
now.
Three.
Well, I love you.
Yeah,
man.
More, you know, more perceptions of, you know, the idea of hissing sound, big, broad. Most of the pictures are taken outdoors, so those are probably, you know, good percepts. And again, these are just quick overview of sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone that's interested, obviously, you're better off going through the actual session work and looking at it that way. This is just a quick overview. Interesting percept of electrically charged. That could be something, could not be something, considering the history of you know, the target, yeah, who knows. RV Viewer 4 had something that I thought was interesting. He had the idea of death. You know, considering, you know, the history of the target, it was interesting.
Yeah.
But again, he has, you know, the percepts of tall, rumbling, those are, you know, might be good percepts considering the target.
Mm-hmm.
Viewer 5 and 6, these again were submissions that were mixed sessions where the target IDs were kind of jumbled together. So they could apply to both, actually, so I kind of made a note on that and also on the one below.
Mm-hmm.
But again, had good dimensional ideas, wind, outside, road, gritty, those are excellent. And again, a sketch with right angles indicating man-made. So again, a viewer that is, they're obviously picking up on the idea of something man-made. something with right angles. I mean, for remote viewers, that's a big keyword, because when we're doing ideograms and basic first couple stages, usually, you know, the ideas of right angles or circles, those tend to indicate a certain type of target, so picking up on angles is perfect. Viewer 6, again, is another mixed session, but boom, gold. He had the color of gold.
Right. Jeez, OP, you kidding me?
You know, yeah, so, I mean, a great, you know, gold, orange, sandy, hard, hum, buzzing. And then his sketch, again, this was a mixed session, but his sketch had something. If you look at the next target, which we're going to get to, there's a picture of, is the actual room 109, and there's a radiator in it. And his sketch has something that was kind of interesting that could be, you know, if you look at it real quick, maybe he was picking up on the idea of a radiator, because I think he was the one, or him or her, I'm not sure, had the idea of mechanical and also had this kind of weird sketch that kind of, you know, looked like a radiator. So, you know, interesting
cool
concept. So, you know, that was the hotel. You know, so overwhelmingly, again, if you look at the session, it looks like a lot of, you know, mishmash of stuff, but overwhelmingly everyone picked up on the idea of, you know, it was a man-made thing, you know, and there were squares, rectangulars, you know, I mean, that's exactly, you know, the type of stuff you'd want to get in the first part of a remote viewing session.
Excellent.
So excellent, you know, excellent work.
Radiator.
Look at that. Yeah, there's the radiator right there, man.
Wow.
So we had, this is for the second session here, which was 0835-7877, room 109,
right,
Goldfield Hotel.
Yeah, you know, the background of the hotel, you know, again, you know, listeners may be familiar with it, but room 109 was the room where this event, supposed or alleged, had taken place, where someone was actually chained to the radiator and died in childbirth. So I was interested, I was kind of hoping, honestly, that there would be some more, you know, I could elicit some advanced or professional viewers to get on this, because I was kind of interested in what type of perceptions would be picked up. But, you know, as you guys know, in the remote viewing circles, it's pretty hard to get, you know, professionals or advanced people to do pretty much anything. So.
That's like trying to get some talk show hosts to do anything.
You're lucky you're talking to us right now.
But again, real, you know, interesting session work again. Remote Viewer 2 had something that was really, really interesting, I thought, is his ideogram, or again, his or her, I'm not sure, ideogram had circular, which typically when you draw circles, it could be many things. It could be a circular object, could be a planet, could be anything circular, but it could be a person. You know, but I thought it was just interesting that he had the color purple, and when you look at that picture real quick, it does like have kind of a purple haze to it. But boom, in his sketch, he actually had the idea of people, which I thought was interesting, considering the background of the room. So, you know, just interesting percepts. Again, you know, could be something, could not be something. Who knows?
That's me again, Vance, by the way. That's me again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, excellent, you know, excellent work. You know, I mean, it's...
just keep telling me I'm great, Vance. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, you're
please
off.
Stop, Vance. Please, I beg you to stop.
No. Yeah. So let's go there. And then there was Remote Viewer 3, was the next person.
Yeah, another had really interesting ideograms. Had the ideas of cool, damp, a great sketch with a single dot in the middle of a rectangle, which I thought again was really interesting because considering the, you know, view of the room and the fact that it was a room, the idea of a rectangle is perfect because you're dealing with a room, man-made, and a single dot in it, that could be, you know, to a remote viewer that's advanced or has done a lot of work, a single dot can be indicative of a few things, you know, a vacuum of space underwater, but also can indicate, you know, the idea of a person in the middle of something, in the middle of a space. So it can be a couple different things, but again, I thought it was interesting because you don't see many sessions, especially from beginning people, where they'll have just a single dot unless they really feel compelled by their, their subconscious to just put a single dot there. So, I thought that was really interesting perceptions and probably, again, indicative of someone kind of picking up on what the target was. So, excellent. Viewer 4...
this is interesting.
Yeah, the viewer was actually... He felt... And this was the viewer's feelings, you know, kind of like taking the viewer and as a dipstick, dipping them into the target. It made him feel uncomfortable, and he actually felt, or again, him or her, disoriented. So interesting, percepts of, it could be something, could not be something. And again, viewer 5 and 6, they were mixed sessions, so their perceptions are, kind of above. So again, viewer 6 had that idea of what could have been, or, what may be something that resembled a radiator in there, which was, and he's got the idea of hum, buzz, but the part that looks or could be associated with radiator, he actually has, these right angles, kind of elongated, rectangular, with the word hard pointing at these things, the right angle. So again, really, interesting sketch. So, overall, just fantastic work. And again, that's just a real quick glazing over of the data. But I invite anyone to go through and look at the sessions and kind of go through it and see what you think. And,
well, these feelings that people get, I thought that was interesting, especially with remote viewer 4 in this situation, made viewer uncomfortable. What was that, disoriented? Did I see that one?
Yeah.
And I thought that was, because when people are starting to get feelings like that, I mean, angles and stuff like that are very interesting, and that's kind of, as far as what I did on this thing, I got a lot of the shapes and stuff like that, and even numbers, like, quantities of things, 3, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll say again, I had no idea myself, as nobody in this project who, I don't know anybody else who did this thing. I don't know who did it or who, whatever. I don't know. I don't know who did what. But when people start getting feelings like that, I didn't get any feelings. I just said, hey, okay, this is what I'm kind of getting. This is what I'm feeling. Not feeling as in, like, I'm, like this person, like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm disoriented. There's something off balance here. I think that's really, really interesting concerning this particular ideogram and this session work, Vance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, we're looking at, just the first, couple stages of what we consider remote viewing session. And, literally we're talking, 3, 5, 6, 7 minutes of work. So what you're seeing is really the foundation, and then someone that's more experienced, more advanced, or even a professional viewer, they progress on and actually jump off from this point and to move out to actually explore each one of these major gestaltic perceptions that they get. So if someone's getting the idea of right angles or people or something like that, they actually jump off at that point and explore, well, what is this? What is it? And they actually start getting more information. I mean, that's how a remote viewing session kind of proceeds, and you actually, build up to, 45, 60 minutes later having, a pretty good sketch.
Yeah.
and layout of what actually is going on at the target. So we're just looking at, the beginning stages, but, considering, excellent work, very difficult targets, and again, our setup was probably a little confusing, so it got a little mixed up there, but excellent work overall.
Well, what I like about it is that this totally, more so than any other one, this really would be perfect for ghost hunters.
Yeah, oh, this is
great.
This is the
totally, gold, yeah, the gold field.
I just
totally
talked to Jackie Oberding?
Yes.
Janice Oberding.
Janice Oberding.
She does a lot of work there, actually, because she's from the Vegas area, and I just talked to her not too long ago about mm-hmm. the gold field, as a matter of fact. And also Marcus Leder.
Yeah.
Talked to him about the gold field hotel also. So it's kind of topical
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah, well, I thought it would be a really interesting target, and, just as a, I guess, another little teaser for you, yeah, as the year goes on and depending on what happens, one of the big things I've been working on is communication. And there seems to be something there. So my interest in this was also I wanted to see what other people would get because I'm working a lot with new techniques. And there seems to be, some way to without getting too, I know you got to go, prolific, to communicate.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that. And you know, as the year goes by here, I think later in the year I'm going to present something to you guys, my own work, you know, so we can see some more data,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And you know what? Just on the air here, I'll tell you this. I just got done saying I've talked to a couple people about the Goldfield Hotel. So mm-hmm. if you need me to put contact with any other people, if you need to talk to some other people about whatever, I know it's remote viewing, so you shouldn't talk to anybody, so never mind.
But exactly.
Just in case, you know, just in case. I know a few people who work there who have done work there. So that's something you might want to, we can talk about later on. But no, Vance, we do have to go to break. I'm sorry, man. But we cranked out a lot of information here.
That was amazing, amazing work. Congratulations, everybody, and thank you so much for participating.
We can't thank Vance enough either, because Vance, we've done four of these things together. They've always been fantastic.
It's always a pleasure to work with you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity.
And we'll do it again for sure. And Vance and I have a rendezvous coming up here, but we'll talk more about that off the air.
That'll be awesome.
Vance, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
All right, guys, this is Ghostly Talk. That was Mr. Vance West, a dear friend of ours.
Don't forget the website, www.trinityscience.com.
Oh,
and, of course,
yeah.
GhostlyTalk.com on the left, down toward the middle, the ORVP projects. You can click on those as well.
Check out that stuff. Coming up, the one and only, I have to say, Alexandra Holzer is going to be
here. Amazing.
She's coming back. She was here last summer. She's back this summer. It'll be good to talk to her again. Why don't we take a quick break? I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Welcome, Bonnie.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.